cosmic consciousness is divine idea in action through unconditional love, unconditional eternal truth, unconditional eternal, pardon me, eternal wisdom, in their absolute state of being on the plane or dimension of expression at an individual conscious awareness and increase through merging of bodies of the relative planes or dimensions. That was a, this meditation is, I ask Kat, this was about a year and a half ago, what cosmic conscious was, and this was what he told me, the description of cosmic consciousness. What we're doing is systematically raising our awareness, raising our consciousness, to a broader and fuller point of view. Now, one of the direct results of this raising of consciousness is an increase of light, an increase of your auric light in the outer manifestation, and an increase of your inner light. This light, depending on its brilliance, gives you the ability to create in your physical, tangible, living world on the third dimension, as well as those tangible worlds of the various other planes of consciousness. The inner light is very powerful. As you are raising on the path, your inner light should increase. When you are sitting in meditation, this light should be brighter and brighter. In fact, when I look out here, things are darker than they are inside. When I close my eyes, I see bright, bright light. And I'm constantly, when I look out here, confronted by shadows and darkness, and I don't see this anymore inside. But there was one point where I didn't see anything inside, until this light began to grow and to get brighter and brighter. And now I have the power of 10,000 times 10,000 suns that I draw upon, because my light has been raised to the energies of these greater spheres of consciousness. As you raise, your light raises to these greater spheres of consciousness for conscious direct communication with these levels of awareness. The beingness of the masters, no longer confined through form, roam freely throughout these fields of energy in their formless bodies or their spirits, partaking and consuming and expanding to the vibrations of the particular ray that they have attuned to and ascended upon. In the case of Elmoria, consumed, all consumed in the blue flame of truth. His creative power is infinite, for he's in the infinite reality of that flame, which is in all of our universe. And realize, beyond this universe, and other suns have different spectrums of consciousness. And this is when you come into the cosmic realm, your light changes into some of these greater spectrums. Yesterday I was initiated by the Masters of Light, and I was given a magenta sphere of light to work with. And today, when I woke up, it looked like it was just about a 3-inch wheel, and when I was looking in the sky tonight, it looked like it covered several hundred yards in all directions of light. It has an ability of expanding and contracting to the most minute or the infinite. I still don't understand completely what the magenta is, which I'm studying to bring that awareness into my consciousness, that I have been initiated twice into the turquoise and into the magenta rays. I call it magenta, but it really isn't magenta. It's a color that I've never seen on this dimension, because the colors in those higher dimensions are not like colors we see here. They are living light. They are as living light within us. And so this living light increases as we practice certain things in consciousness. Now in these last months, you have been working to establish in your subconscious mind the rainbow bridge, or the entakarana, the vibratory arc of consciousness to take you from your outer to inner self. You have also been given the master's bridge of consciousness. Have you not? The master's bridge being the blue, crystal blue, the gold, translucent gold, the pink, strong and translucent, the white, pure and fire-like, the green, emerald and clear, the golden ruby, and then the violet fire, ultraviolet flame. These are the master's bridge. This is the light spectrum that comes across the universe. But due to our atmospheric conditions of this planet, our rainbow, when it manifests in the atmosphere here, manifests as red, yellow, orange, green, blue, violet, then gold, and turquoise. And this is the manifestation of our rainbow upon this planet. As you raise in vibrations, when you leave the gold ray now, you should seek to move through the turquoise ray into the white light. The turquoise ray is a direct connection with the hierarchy, the planetary hierarchy of this planet. This light that you have been gaining inside, have been programming your subconscious mind to let through from the superconscious self, has been transforming your consciousness from the negative self-image that you had to a more positive self-image, and then from this positive self-image to the master image of yourself is the next step. And some of you are already awakened to this and are making this transition. It's automatic. The transition automatically takes place. As you delve deeper and deeper into consciousness, this light becomes brighter and brighter and more apparent, because you are paying more attention, concentration, and observation within yourself than you are outside of yourself. Now, listen to those terms, outside of yourself, in yourself. When you are out here, you are outside of yourself. When you're within, you are within yourself. And realize this self, or this light, emanates in all dimensions, is radiating in all spheres of consciousness, from the least to the greatest, and to the unfoldment of your conscious awareness, you become conscious of this power within you, this light. It's the very light. Some of you have seen me, I think at the last manifestation discourse I gave, I created the golden light again, the golden firelight, which I have the power of being a master in the golden flame. I create this by an implosion of light instead of an explosion of light. And those that seen it, see it as an imploding vibration and disappearing into itself. It's done through a manifestation of visualization through my pranic forces, by building up a prana charge or a mana charge or a field of energy, and then transferring the consciousness of fire into the charge. And to understand fire, meditate upon the flame and ask it to release its energy to you. Every elemental kingdom has a power. I've been given power in the wind, I've been given power in the water, and I've been given power in the earth and power in fire. as well as power in the light, or the akasha. This prana is unmanifested energy when it comes to you. It's unseen, unmanifested energy, and through your consumption and qualification of it, it becomes akasha, the light you have seen around your mirror, around your hands, around your body is akashic light, and it vibrates at different degrees, and within it, it holds the images of creation. You are not a solid being. You are reproducing spontaneously, instantaneously, every impulse of consciousness, 88,000 times per second. Your body is reproducing itself in life. Everything you see is this akasha, as it is brought from the finest, as you see it within you, to a densified vibration here. A creation out of this light, like a making of a cake, or a crystal, or any other object, is done simply by impaction of that light into this dimension, when you have a clear continuity of consciousness from the light to this dimension. Most people have pass knots and blocks in different planes, so they don't have the continuity of awareness to bring this forth. You can also withdraw consciousness from this dimension by stepping through concentration into the spaces between your impulsing light vibrations or your 88,000 times per second of impulse. It's moving into the ghost or the Holy Spirit of consciousness. You withdraw from this dimension to vibrate within that light, which is unseen in this dimension. You do not disappear from yourself. You cannot disappear from yourself. You are always in the self, and the self is always in all things. As you work with attention, concentration, observation to step into the silence of consciousness, you have come to the void between the outer and inner self, the first void. Here is the witness, or you come to the heart chakra, and within it there is a void, a dark place in consciousness where nothing is perceived, and you move across this thin line. But some have fear of darkness and never move past this line into the powers of their higher self. Sometimes they only move through an unconscious effort of their superconscious awareness, moving outwards into their conscious experience. And they say, well, gee, I did this, but I don't know how I did it. Because they have these blocks that keep them from forming the lines between the outer and the inner worlds. Well, as you get into meditation, this is where contemplation is to be exercised. Contemplation is the ability to be one-pointed in your attention, concentration, observation, and meditation on one point of consciousness. This can be one word, or it can be a statement. Some contemplate God. What does contemplation do? But it centers the consciousness in mind, and then everything that's related to the point of contemplation, everything that's related to the one-pointed awareness or statement, comes to show its association with it. So as you contemplate, or you hold one idea, one thought, one word, everything associated will come to it. Instead of you running like a wild man through mind, trying to search through this drawer and that bag and this room and that, you hold the one image and all things come to it. The mountain coming to Muhammad. Muhammad said in his cave, and the word of God came to Muhammad. The mountain came to Muhammad. all symbolic. This great power came, and it's through this contemplation. Buddha taught us of right contemplation, giving us liberation. What is the right contemplation? Is we contemplating on the highest. I remember when I was first practicing contemplation, I was given an exercise to contemplate till I found the smallest thing I knew and had awareness of, and then to contemplate to the greatest thing I knew and had awareness of. And through many months of contemplation on these two aspects, I realized that the greatest and the smallest were no different. In contemplation, your consciousness, being one-pointed and focused by paying all of your attention, concentration, observation, and your calm state of meditation or divine union with the One, and this is the object of your meditation, is that divine union or mystical union or the feeling of the presence or coming into the presence. When you reach this point of being within the presence, through contemplation, the light is drawn to you. This gives you superconscious awareness. The superconscious awareness is total consciousness of movement, whether it be on the physical, emotional, mental, or spiritual plane. So what would superconscious awareness tell you? You must do this superconscious awareness, or have this, whether it's applied inner or outer. You must have this to the degree that you are completely detached from all objects, from all sensory perceptions. You must reach this point of detachment, or the second witness in consciousness, through contemplation, meditation, observations, concentration, and attention on the various aspects of the various planes. Simply meaning, if you wanted to correct the physical dimension, you would be aware of all movement on the physical dimension. And primarily, being your mind has a one-pointed focus, and it can only focus on one thing at a time, even though you may have this thought and that thought and that thought and that thought, and may think they're all coming from one point, which they are coming from the self, but they are separate points of focus for the mind. You move so quickly between them at the speed of thought that you think that there is no separation in them, but there is separation in all things. And so when this one-pointed conscious awareness is brought into your consciousness and conscious control from a superconscious state, you become aware of all your conditioned reactions, whether they are physical, emotional, mental, whether they are intuitive, or wherever the conditioned reactions are playing in your consciousness. You also become aware from this superconscious awareness of how to correct them, because you're at such a point of view that you get to see the whole realm of expression in that particular phase of consciousness. This, when turned upwards and out from the individual, then gives you awareness of the cosmic forces. The cosmic forces in action through unconditioned love, wisdom, truth, in their absolute state of being, on the plane or dimension of expression of an individual conscious awareness, increase through the merging of bodies of the relative planes. This means when you can bring your physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual bodies all in attunement or at one-ment and operating in full power towards one thing. That many times our emotional bodies are drawn off towards something while our minds are drawn towards something else while we're standing there washing dishes or working on something with our physical body. See? We have no continuity of awareness there. It's only when the mind, the emotions, and the physical body, backed up by the spirit within, is concentrated and focused, do you have power and dominion over that situation. Otherwise, your forces are scattered by these bodies not being in tune with one another. The way to attune these is not to act one way inside and another way outside. The congruity in consciousness keeps separation and limits your power and destroys your superconscious awareness as well as your at oneness with all things, because now you are separate somewhere and you have some prejudice or prejudgment about something, or you have some conclusion or some assumption about something, or you are taking and making some erroneous image of it. All those things will stop the continuity of awareness from flowing within you. Well, when you realize through the superconscious awareness, the cosmic consciousness, your oneness with all things and how you fit in and work with this oneness, you'll realize that you cannot make one move without moving the universe. Every motion that you make causes an endless vibration, just like a drop of water in a pool of water sends its radiating vibrations out in the way of rings to touch the shore. This sea of consciousness is boundless, infinite, and shoreless, and it is a constant emanation of energy going out from you that touches all things by the degree and intensity that you projected. When you come aware of these cosmic forces, they apply themselves in power and in powers. If you take and all the cosmic laws that you have been given in the Course and take and eliminate the name law and put into place power, you will start realizing some of the greater powers of consciousness. When you say no longer that this is a cosmic law but cosmic power, then you have taken that which is that and seen that from the particular point of view that you are focusing through. As you take and see how the powers of the cosmic forces work through your subconscious or superconscious mind and through your subconscious mind to come into your conscious awareness, you then reach the level of mastery, where you start mastering these powers that are working through you. This is the cosmic mastery that we're talking about, and this is the master consciousness that we have been leading you to. If you simply want to have control over your physical, emotional, mental body, simply go to your heart and function from there. If you want control over your knowledge and ideas, go to your superconscious state or the brow and control your awareness from there. If you want control over your at oneness with all things, your ability to see clearly and have perception and insight, to be in the spirit, to have control of ideas, imagination, your knowledge, your thinking, your emotions, and your physical body, you go to the crown and become the master of your awareness. When this master looks out into the universe, it sees the cosmic Christ, the all-pervading light essence that is emanating from the Godhead outward to all creation, the supporting agent of it, as it, and beyond it. This cosmic Christ, being the ideal immaculate conception of creation, given at the first impulse of creation, which is now, and realize creation is now, time, space is illusion. Those are illusions of creation, but creation is right now and has been created right now, no matter how far back in it you look, no matter how far you have come in it, it all is, was, and always will be. Realize the validity and the impacting vibration of that particular statement. Is, was, and always will be means right now. Creation just happened right now. And it's happening constantly now. And it is now. What you are doing is moving in a changing, ever-changing now from a limited point of view. And as you expand into the oneness, the limited point of view is consumed by the universality of the oneness as it perceives itself in all things until the end of creation or your realization of God. And then you return that essence back into the God consciousness, or there the great attributes of the Godhead pour through the consciousness so that it emanates through all creation. These higher states, the Christ consciousness on the universal level and the God consciousness on the universal and expanded level beyond the universes of universes, is realized partially, vaguely, in this life, and cannot be fully realized until you ascend into that plane or to the 11th and 12th dimension of awareness. As you take and move in your consciousness to realize this God self, you realize, just by the touching of it into your awareness, this great I Am force, is all-pervading, is now, is eternal, and it has no limits to it, and it's ever-expanding. In the oneness of the One without a second, the Nameless One, within whom all God conscious moves and lives and has its being, and all lesser consciousness move and live and have their being. This oneness, Nameless One without a second, is manifested, non-manifested, but is beyond both of those, beyond any concept, any image, form, any formless concept that we can bring to it, because everything that we bring is only a limitation of it, and so we can never know it in our present state of being as men or women upon this planet Earth. We can only seek to draw closer to it through evolution. So your point of power is not out in some future incarnation or off in the past. It is here and now. And your point of power can only be manifested through having enough light within you to manifest the here and now through your conscious creator, witness, and doer within. This light is increased through the pranayama yoga. There's a mudra that I'm going to teach you now. It's called the Pranayama Yoga Mudra. The Pranayama Yoga Mudra. It's the use of both of your hands, and I used to start from the top, I'm going to start from the bottom, it's easier for me. You put these two fingers over the mouth, closing the mouth off, the two bottom fingers. The second two fingers go and close the nose off. The next two fingers close the eyes off, and then the thumbs close off the ears. You take and close off all these holes into the head with your hands, and then you press outwards with your breath, not strong enough to break the seals that you create with your hand, but strong enough to create a pressure within you. Let's all try this now. Simply put your hands here, close it here, and then take a breath, and then push it out, but not too hard. more of a haze in the room? How many saw the haze in the room when they opened their eyes? That's the Akashic light, okay? How many got an increase of light within? How many got an increase of sound within? Okay? When you do this exercise, it should increase your inner sound and your inner light. Now, when you're doing this, you can add one other thing to it. When you're breathing out, pushing out with your breath, and you must create a pressure there. Start breathing with your mind. Start breathing with your mind. And if you do this correctly, you can stay in this position for hours without taking a breath through your nose or mouth. When this is done correctly, because you're consuming prana and actually at that moment changing it into light, I see two great fields of electromagnetic currents moving in an optical vibration like Sesh, with black and white squares. In the center of it, I have this great golden being that always steps forward. Did you get the same thing? Yeah. Well, you've been initiated. They have been initiated. And so, this image comes forward. If you know what to do at that moment, you can step into that image. If you know what to do at that very moment, you can step into that image. You're no longer bound in physical body, because that's in light body to travel in. So you can transfer consciousness into that image. When anybody gets that state, then I'll give you some special instruction on that. I'll give you special instructions. At this point of awareness, you are aware of those electromagnetic fields of light. This is an increase of your consciousness. So it's called the pranayama yoga mudra. What you are doing is you are consuming prana and turning it into the light, into akasha. Prana into akasha. You're taking the basic substance and converting it into the substance you can use. Now it's so fine at this stage that it has no application upon this dimension without impacting it down various dimensions. The light will show you when you get to that point how to do that, because see, you already know how to do that within yourself. So when you get this increase of light and you see the energies that I've just described, come to me and I'll give you a special instruction. These are only for those that are working in very high states of consciousness to have this special instruction. It's not for people that are not practicing and not doing the work. And that's why I hadn't taught pranayama in the course before. This is the first class to get the pranayama and the movement of that. Because it's so easy to misuse that power. Because when you increase the light within you, your words have more power, your ideas have more power, your images have more power, because this is the power or light force behind you demonstrating it outwards. I know my words have power. My words have power to direct life, whether it be in my body or other bodies. If my words are followed, they have power, and the power came in the way of words from this light, through the grace of these great ascended masters of light. They hold the power in a higher dimension, and when you raise up, it starts pouring through you. You're just like plugging into it. And your powers are the levels of your bridge, both your Antakarana and your master's bridge, as well as the golden light bridge and the silver light bridge and the crystal bridge. The golden bridge, did I give you all the bridges? The master bridge is exactly the same as the days. And you go over the rainbow bridge to the white light, but instead of going over the rainbow bridge the way you have been going over it, there's a way to get into the master's bridge which is stronger, and this is the way you go into the master's bridge. This is the way you go into the master's bridge. Now, can somebody tell me how this is different than the regular rainbow bridge, this symbol? When you're coming, you go red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet, then into the gold. What you're actually doing is going right up the spine and into the pineal gland, and then looking down at the pituitary gland, and then turning and looking upwards. And as you do this, as you look into the pineal gland, it activates the inner sight or spiritual sight, and you're at oneness when you're doing this, and see, you have to be at oneness to step onto the master's bridge. You have to be at this oneness to step into the master's bridge. And so this is an activation of inner sight by going over the bridge in that way. So you reverse violet and indigo. And you see within the indigo a ball of violet fire, and then you see that ball of violet fire turn into a golden ball. So that is the way to step into the master's realm. Any of these techniques followed with complete submission will raise you to the higher states. But are you still holding something out? You're still holding something out. You won't get the light unless you surrender to it. The breath of fire was to bring the electromagnetic currents of your auric vibration from the higher self to increase your aura that's about you, as well as to increase the power of your central nervous system and to uplift the vibration of the central nervous system. If your hands are cold or your feet are cold, you don't have enough life force in your body. It means that the electromagnetic energies have been pulled off of the nerve ganglia, and you don't have the life force in that area of the body. All you have is conditioned reaction operating in that area. It's dull. It means that you're not all the way in. And the breath of fire should bring you all the way in. And that's it. I suggest that you do the breath of fire the first thing you get up in the morning to pull you back in your body. Now, if you do this breath of fire and concentrate from the head down and reverse the bridge from the white light down, you'll activate the Kundalini all through all of the chakras in all levels of consciousness. But you must be very careful here, because it also activates the sexual organs. You might have an orgasm when you have this experience, because it heightens that energy. And some people get ashamed or feel guilty or think they're doing something dirty. If you have this energy, just send it back up the spine. Send it right back up the spine and feel that heat and that energy going right back up the spine into the brain. This way you are taking that line of light, the orange ray that we talked about, the orange red ray we talked about when we were telling you the rays in the color class, when we explained how they go up through the chakras, the lines. You're taking that and turning it from the orange into that indigo, which tunes you into the universal mind, gives you tuning to the oneness. And it also increases your power to perceive in that area of consciousness. So revelation will open up to you, and you can be in a constant state of revelation. The polarity breath is to balance the Ida and the Pingala currents and to discharge that energy in the Shushumna current, or to bring together the male and female polarities into the neutral plane of awareness, or that part of your consciousness that is the witness on all dimensions, which is the middle path, the center way, the straight and narrow, the neutral universe, the Sushumna currents. And these currents have greater applications too. We're not going to go deep into those. I'm going to give you just this amount at this point. The other pranayama that we have taught you is the quick release from the body by a quick breath. This quick breath can also be used to reprogram your subconscious mind. When you bring yourself up to that tingling state, it means you have increased the light impacting in the physical body when you do that. You may find hot rushes over the body, again, sexual experiences, but those are only activations of that chakra. Don't get afraid or upset or confused by it. Just go with the experience and increase the energies, the life force in it. It's very powerful. The pranayama is very powerful for increasing this light that you create with, the light within you. Now you will know that you are having success because in your meditations your light is getting brighter. If your light hasn't got brighter than when you started this course, then you have cheated yourself out of many, many months of experience by not doing the exercises. And you have cheated yourself out of evolution and many, many other things. I say the self, you cheated the self out of it by being stuck in your personality and stuck in your ego. When you are thinking about you all the time, you are in your mind, your emotions, me, mine, I, you have cheated yourself of the greater experience of reality. And through the pranayama exercises, you get drawn up into the self and are able to see these lesser things. That also creates enough energy to drive out any dis-ease in your being. Now, you can use another pranayama technique, and in the beginning I think we gave, when we were giving mantras, we gave you one that said Hung Sa. Remember that one? It's not to be done verbally, but it's to be done in the mind. On the in-breath, Hum. On the out-breath, Sa. On the in-breath, Hum. On the out-breath, Sa. Or So Hum. Some call it So Hum. In the some Eastern disciplines use So Hum. Hum Sa comes from a Chinese discipline. So you can use this mantra to increase your pranayama too by breathing in and out fully and concentrating on the Hung Sa. Because see, what you're doing is you're not using all the forces that you are drawing now, because your mind is only on the Hung Sa. So it limits itself to that energy. Your emotions are turned off, your physicals turn off, all other energies are turned off, and you should become the Hung Sa. Now, to take and store this energy, you have a battery in your consciousness, and it's your pineal gland. And so you concentrate by looking upwards. and doing your hung song. You're looking upwards to the pineal gland. You're looking up towards the pineal gland. So you look upwards like you're looking at it. This directs your attention, your concentration, your observation into that point of awareness. So you look up to it. With your eyes half closed, you look up. And if you're doing it correctly, you only will show the white of your eyes. You look up and inwards, pointing upwards and inwards in your consciousness. Your eyes should be pointing upwards. And inwards towards that pineal gland. You'll notice that your sound will increase. And you listen to the sound, looking upwards, doing your mantra, and it starts storing energy in this gland. You might find yourself going out. You might just go right out. You might find yourself just seeing the bottom out. Hold yourself in that exercise, and it will store up your cosmic energy. Now, what does this do for you? If you ever had a bad day, you won't have any bad days. Won't have any more bad days. You won't be tired. You won't be able to be tired anymore because you have an excess of energy, that fear that can just be released by looking upwards and feeling it coming downward. Here you are using it. Don't let yourself go out. Keep building it up in that gland. Hold yourself into it. Otherwise, it just goes, you go right out. You can use it to get out, too, into your life body. So that's the point you want to look at when you're doing this pranayama exercise. And you're doing this on a natural breath flow. Now, you might find kriyas taking place in your physical body, shaking. You might find in your emotional body. You might just feel that. Some people cry and they have emotional releases. Or they'll just start laughing, or they'll just fall down on the floor in a big blob of slobbering. But don't be frightened by any of that. That's just runouts. And the quicker they run out, the clearer you will be. So this is also a release for some of those energies. My crown chakra is buzzing so much. Or you may have mental kriyas where you're wide awake. Or you might feel like you are getting nauseated or whirling or spiraling in consciousness. All those are kriyas, and there's a special yoga called Kriya Yoga and how to use those kriyas, but we don't get into that in this course either. So the pranayama is to increase this akashic light and your perception of it. Now, another one to increase your perception of this light is to sit with your eyes half open and half closed and looking upward and not focusing on anything. Don't focus on anything. Don't close your eyes all the way. You have to be looking into the room without focusing on anything. And you sit in that way. Many of you have probably seen Buddha's pose where his eyes is part way open and he's looking outward. This will increase your perception of the akashic light too. And you can actually, when you're performing your breathing, see this light increasing. Getting brighter, 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 brighter about you. And then you'll see that all objects have auras. You'll see your own aura. You'll see everybody else's aura. But it takes months of practice. Months! If you've been doing all the practices up to now, you would have had
a lot more powers manifested in your consciousness. Some of you already have more intuition. How many is realizing more intuition? How about more clear seeing? Clear seeing. How about the sound? Getting more aware of the sound or audio. Okay, has anybody got to the point of hearing music? Good, good. Okay, there's a whole realm of music. Every time I'm playing that harmonium, all kinds of it is playing. All the songs that's come out of there has come out of that music, out of the blue ray of that music. So you can concentrate on different things that bring up this awareness of this Akashic light and how it works in and about and through you. So those are some techniques of increasing the pranayama yoga. Science deals only with conditioned knowledge and not knowledge as such. Thus viewed, science is a limited knowledge and logic a frail instrument of knowing. With instruments of limitation, with limited knowledge, the unlimited cannot be known. With the condition, the unconditioned can never be measured. An hourglass is no instrument to accumulate the quantity of the ocean. A limited human mind and intellect are no tape measure for the all-pervading God, the reality of the soul. In this sense, the great seers of old repeatedly declared that truth or God is beyond the senses and the mind. When we have integrated fully our inner personality through a diligent and serious practice of one of the processes of self-perfection, the individual is ready for a great takeoff. Fitted with such a pair of wings, the seeker shoots across the realms of time, space, and causality into the very domain of pure consciousness. In fact, through concentrated meditation, a seeker diligently learns to gather all his scattered awareness of things from the outer world and next from the parts of the body. Therefore, or thereafter, he rolls into himself all his awareness that is being wasted in his mental zone, emotional zone, etheric, and physical zones. Lastly, he draws all his awareness contact from his intellectual personality. When thus there are no objects of awareness to be aware of, it being nothing but awareness, to appreciate the possibility at that moment, the awareness will have to become awareful of itself. It would not matter whether one is a great scientist, an incomparable theologian, or an unapproachable philosopher. For what it is and what it is like is not within the known experience. Thus, it would not come within the expression of language or feeling or thought. Language is, after all, the expression of limited experience gained among the finite sense objects. Even here, when the expression is not superficial but slightly deeper, language fails. Language has no entry into the realms of truth. To experience, at least for once, this pure consciousness, as such, is to know or to understand creative power. And this can be achieved only through logic and science, but not by them. Without a perfectly integrated personality, a well-developed head and heart, intellect and mind, no achievement towards the life center in our being is possible. Knowledge as such, the creative power, comes to know itself only when its preoccupation with the objects, the world, body, mind, intellect, are ended. In that calm moment, in that silent hour of joyous awareness, God peeks out of his dominion of pure consciousness upon himself, the truth. At that moment, the seeker is God. The seeker becomes the sought. The seeker becomes the sought. This statement by a Swami Chinmayananda, a very beautiful being, tells us about this point of consciousness in this light within us. He's talking here and gave us a description of samadhi. When awareness is aware of itself. When you come out of that point of consciousness, you are super human in this dimension, because you have centered every point of power into that one pointed focus and then taking it within itself. I remember one time Zoroaster giving me the key to the universe. So I'm going to give you the key to the universe. And I asked him how I get home. I want to know how I got home. Because he told me I was 4.3 light years from my home. I was wondering, well, how do I get home? And he just went like this. And it took me a year to break this code, this symbol. And since I've broken it, I've been able to travel many, many places in the universe. Jupiter, Saturn, Venus, Mercury, Vulcan, the Sun, into other systems, back into the Mesurian system, into the Grenian system, and to the system of the Orionites, and many other points of conscious awareness beyond the expression of human consciousness. Much of what I learned there has no application in this dimension. It can't even be brought into, there are no words to describe some of the experiences in those dimensions. There's no language can describe it. But the experience is beyond our language, and each must experience it from their individual conscious awareness. No one can experience something for someone else. Everyone has to directly experience it themselves. So through these techniques of increasing this light, another one to bring your awareness of the Akasha, was the mirror exercise, as I told you earlier. The ring exercise. By now, if you've been doing your ring exercise just before you go to bed at night, you should notice first that emanation of the currents around your own hand, your etheric energies. You should be able to see that very clearly. Plus the radiation of a brighter aura out about that. Plus the whole room should have changed into light for you. Each time you do these exercises, the mind reaches quicker for them. But if you do them haphazardly, then the mind says, well, do you really want it now? And so you have to convince the mind each time you want it. You've got to convince your subconscious mind you want it, because you have made a pattern in your subconscious mind. If it's erratic and out of harmony, to get into a harmonious state, you have to neutralize that pattern. Or you have to lose it. When you are doing these pranayama exercises and increasing this light, storing this light, to release the negativity, simply release it. Let it go. Don't think about it. Don't feel it. Stop it. Stop the world. That's the only way you're going to get to the point of true seeing, clear seeing, is to stop the world. And stop these things from keep coming over and over in your mind. I almost cry in my heart every time I see a soul in bondage from the statement, well, I can't do anything about it. When I see that soul bound in the chains of, I can't stop my mind. I can't stop my emotions. Every time, that's a piercing of the soul. That's a piercing of the soul where your true knowledge is the truth, the love, the wisdom is. You're actually piercing your soul. It would be the same as if you were in this physical body taking a knife and plunging it into yourself. It's the same effect upon your soul. Because you are denying the truth of what you are, and what you are is what you know. So every time you say you can't do it, you are piercing your soul. You are piercing your knowledge. Because the soul is what you know from all your experiences, accumulated experience over thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And to say you can't do that is to deny the truth of your own being, or to suffer from illusion. Because there is nothing impossible to any human being. Everyone, large or small, can have conversion. And conversion is simply, you are no longer pulling off of the sources of energy that you were pulling off of before you came in this course. Most of you have already converted into pulling off of a different energy, a higher force. You no longer pull off of the old ideas of the family, the old ideas of society. Now you're pulling off of the new ideas that seem new to you, but they're just as old as any other idea. Of the masters, because they are. Everything is. All ideas right here. Everything is right here, right now. And when you bring yourself into that light of right here, right now, your light actually gets brighter. Most people are in darkness because they're not even looking into their light. You're actually accumulating energy. You're turning darkness into light. And so you win this conversion. You win a higher power to pull upon. And the greater the expansion of consciousness, the greater the conversion, and the higher powers you pull upon. It's like taking out of a 110 socket and sticking it into a 220 socket, taking out of that, sticking it into a 1001 socket. Well, when you get enough light accumulated through enough practice, enough demonstration of love, truth, and wisdom in the world, because that's how the light flows through you. You know, you are magnetized by the light that flows through you. You're magnetized by the light that flows through you. And if you have negative thoughts and negative self-image flowing through you, that's your light, and that's what magnetizes to you, and that's what you become. If you flow the Master's words and the Christ consciousness and the Buddha consciousness and all the beautiful Masters, their awareness through you, then you get magnetized to that consciousness. And so you have conversion into that energy. It's an expansion and conversion of your energies. Go eat something else. You have a conversion. You know, a lot of people, you know, you hear about converts, right? In the Christian religion. Here, the conversion comes when they're no longer listening to what their friends and family have been laying on them, and what the negative people in society has been laying on them, and they start having faith in Christ. They say, okay, I'm going to let it. Christ's going to do everything in my life. And they surrender to it. In order for you to pull the higher light, you've got to surrender to the higher light. You have to surrender to that. And to surrender means you have to have total faith that it's going to be so. The greatest conversion is to become one with God. And just seeking that brings all the other conversions into super conscious, cosmic conscious, master conscious, Christ conscious. So, as you go inward, you are converting your energy. Everything you read has a light to it. Every single thing you read has a light to it. And it's the light of the dimension that it is related to. If it's physical, it has a red light. If it's emotional, it has orange light. If it's abstract, it has blue light to it. If it's spiritual, it has violet fire, or indigo, or gold, or white, or turquoise. There's many applications of spiritual light. And by degree, you will see. All your environment about you, everything has a light to it. You know, one of the things that I was reading, Success Unlimited, a magazine I get, and there was ten rules of success that Onassis had, and he applied these rules. One was to take care of his body. Another one was never to talk business when he was eating. He realized that, you know, at that point his aura's open, and, you know, if you're upset or something, what you're consuming gets upset, and then it goes into the body upset. What was my point? Everything has life. And in success, was the one thing. Even if you have to go to rent a room in a mansion, do it. Because it uplifts your consciousness and gives you a broader point of view. What can a man sitting in a dingy, dull room think of God in the highest when he has that type of environment? Now, if you're strong and you are building a heavy spiritual awareness, sure, you'll go off into a cave, because you'll overcome your environment. But if you want it to work for you, then you will put yourself in the best environment you can. And so that was one of his rules for success, is put yourself in a good environment. All of these things bring you life, and all of them increase the life. And it is the life within you that you create. And it's the life within you that is God. And so when you are in the light, you are in God, you will realize the presence, the omnipotence, the omniscience, the omnipresence of that oneness through emerging into it by surrender to it. And that means you must be a courageous spirit to speak. Is there any questions about the question? When I wrote that symbol, first I found that time turns within itself. emanating oneness, and a symbol was coming out from the oneness, I also found that you must go within yourself to get out of yourself. When you're traveling through space, electromagnetic energies, you must turn the energies inward before they will go outward. There are many, many things that I wrote from that. You'd have to be specific because they have different applications. The conceptual awareness is turning within itself, gives you the all-encompassing vibration. So that can be adaptable on many dimensions. Contemplate the symbol. So you're asking for what took me months to give you instantly. And a lot of this is beyond words. But that symbol was given to me in November of 1974. Yes. Why do you sneeze? It's usually something due to the current that's moving up the spine at the back of the neck, where those energies are moving at the back of the neck. It's release sometimes of energy. It can be positive, it can be negative. It also gives you a rush of light upwards. And when you sneeze, everything stops. So it gives you, you know, a lot of, is, see, in order for you to, you know, expand in consciousness, you have to stop what you're doing. If you want to expand, just stop everything you're doing and you'll expand. That's the quickest way to expand. Stop everything. Stop the world. Because then you're not hung up on what you're doing, and what you're doing is living. See? Any action is negative, because pure consciousness is pure.